Hello and welcome to Healthy Mind, Healthy Life with your host Avik. This podcast is all about exploring the latest research, sharing personal stories and providing personal tips for improving our mental health and well-being. Each episode will be joined by experts in the field of mental health as well as individuals who have experienced the transformative power of a healthy mind firsthand. Together, we will dive into a range of topics from managing stress and anxiety to building resilience and cultivating happiness. So, join us on this journey to discover new ways to take care of our minds, bodies, and souls. And let's work together to create a healthier, happier world one episode at a time. So, let's get started. Hello and welcome to Healthy Mind, Healthy Life. I'm your host, Avik, and today we are joined by Leah Johnson. So welcome to the show, Leah.
Thank you for having me.
Lovely. So Leah, like before we start our conversation today, I would love to mention this to all of our listeners that Leah, whose journey from a high-powered career to self-discovery is truly inspiring. So her story of resilience and transformation is about finding joy amidst life's challenges. So join us as Leah shares insights on self-advocacy, storytelling, and embracing the imperfection. So welcome to the show again, Leah.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
Great. That's great. So Leah, to start with, like, what inspired you to embark on your journey of self-advocacy and creating a healthier life?
Yeah, well, there was certainly a point in my life, actually a good portion of my life that was really in a dark space. I found myself in pretty deep trauma response, responding to both, you know, some childhood trauma as well as being sexually assaulted. And so I found myself in some pretty dark places. I became addicted to all sorts of things. But I would say the main thing I tried to fill the void of, you know, of the trauma and of the sadness was this need to succeed. And so I pushed myself to, you know, really the limit. My goal was always the next success. I started very early and was, you know, a collegiate athlete and had a lot of success as far as, you know, my career path in politics. And I just kept pushing. And, you know, my goal early in life was to be an elected official. And I, you know, really did everything I possibly could to get myself to that role. And I ultimately did. You know, I was elected as a city councilor in my community. And really, that was when I hit my low point. I had proven I could do it all, but I mean, at that point, I don't think any success would have filled the gap. You know, I say in my book that I wrote about my journey that, you know, even being president of the moon, I don't think would have been enough. And so inevitably, when you're not successful all the time, which is exactly how life works, I filled those voids with other addictions like alcohol and so I got to a point where, you know, I had tried to take my life multiple times. I had two small children and I realized something needed to change. I needed to stop the generational cycles of trauma and addiction and show my kids that life could be done differently.
Yeah, exactly. Definitely. That's really great. And that's really very motivational, I would say, for people who are listening. So, I mean, if you can also share some of the moments or experiences that led you to prioritize your well-being.
Yeah. So, I mean, I would say like my journey to healing really started probably about 6 years before I even admitted that I needed help and I had a problem on a lot of levels. I started, you know, doing spiritual journeys and a lot of self-work that really started to pry open, you know, what was at the core of my challenges and at the core of my sadness and depression. Mm-hmm. And I started to equip myself with tools and learning how to, you know, release those things that were truly, you know, eating me alive. And so it was, you know, it was a process. It's not something that one day I just woke up and everything was better. It took years, but it took years of acknowledging that, you know, the trauma wasn't my fault, that my reaction to the trauma, the addictions that came with it were also not my fault. And so once I started to give myself grace and be able to work through that, it really created a space where I could release, you know, all of those things I was holding on to and admit that, you know, I was not happy and I was deeply sad and I needed to change something. And so I did. And ultimately I quit city council and withdrew from my reelection campaign, in fact. And, you know, I quit drinking and I quit a lot of things and really started to reprioritize my life. Putting my children and myself first and my family. And once I did that and things, you know, the lens through which I looked at life was, you know, how does this better serve myself and my own mental health to allow me to be a better mother and wife and, you know, all around community member. And so I really started to evaluate that. But shifting priorities was really an important part of that.
Got it. So how do you define the self-advocacy and how has it transformed your life? Am I audible?
Sorry, I can't hear you.
Okay. I'm saying like, how do you define the self-advocacy?
Yeah, so I really took my experience in, so my book is Finding Fantastic Joy, how building a self-advocacy campaign that led me out of darkness. And, you know, I've at that point had a 20-year career in campaigns and policy, and I knew how to build an advocacy campaign for virtually anything. But what I hadn't done is built that self-advocacy campaign for myself. And so I took those lessons and experiences and really applied them to myself. And, you know, first and foremost is understanding is the research part of it, you know, understanding why, you know, what is the root of the things that are causing you the sadness and pain, not necessarily the symptoms, because there are lots of symptoms and, you know, addiction is certainly one of those, but what is the addiction covering up? And so I really had to dig deep to look at what, you know, what was inside of me. And, you know, like I said, some of the childhood trauma as well as other trauma, and how I let that go and how I find healing and peace with that. And then, you know, moving from that, it really became about, you know, priorities and building my own advocacy network, knowing who my allies were and my, you know, people support people. And so, you know, going through that process of learning that if I'm not advocating for myself first, if I'm not putting my own mental health and my own well-being first, that I'm actually doing a disservice to all of the rest of the people in my life, because I'm not as present. I'm not as, you know, there in a meaningful and happy and joyful way that can add more value to my life. And so I found that, you know, the more I took care of myself first, actually the better human I became.
Lovely. So, okay. In your experience, what are some of the common challenges that people face when trying to advocate for themselves, especially in the context of creating a healthier lifestyle?
Well, I think that we're told that we're supposed to do all of these other things, right? I mean, there's external successes that are what define us. We're constantly, as a mother and as a woman, I'm constantly giving and doing things for others, and that's what's expected. And, you know, the constant hustle of, you know, just proving yourself and taking care of all the things. The reality is, if I am defined by all of those external things, I am not as happy and healthy as I am if I am defined by, you know, just my essence and who I am, and knowing that it's not the external successes that define me as a person, but rather, you know, who I am and what I bring as a human. And so I think that shift is really important.
Got it. So, what role has storytelling played in your journey of self-discovery and the empowerment?
I'm sorry, you cut out a little on that question. Could you just ask it one more time?
Yeah, I'm just saying, what role has storytelling played in your journey of self-discovery and the empowerment?
I think to be able to take care of yourself again. I know that, like, for myself, when I stopped, sorry, the question still didn't totally come through. So I'm trying to answer it, but I couldn't get the full question.
Yeah, so I understand. So what do you think? The storytelling, how much value the storytelling has in the journey?
Okay.
Yeah.
I got it. It's incredibly important. So part of the reason I wrote my book is because I believe that, like, to those who are given much, you know, much is expected. And I had a story to share. You know, I was a person who was a public figure and, you know, very present in my community. And, you know, everybody has challenges. Everybody has things in their story that make their life challenging in some way or another. And we just don't talk about it. We don't talk about trauma. We don't talk about addiction. We don't talk about generational trauma enough. And so I felt like it was really important to share my story and tell that story in the hopes that other people know they're not alone. And, you know, these are real things that people in all walks of life deal with. And, you know, we have the power to tell that story. And I would also say that, you know, the idea that the truth will set you free is, you know, very, very pointed. And I know that once my story was out of me and released into the world, it had less power. You know, the parts that were so painful and so that led me to the deep depression and sadness weren't a part of me anymore. They were a part of a bigger ecosystem of stories and a collective narrative that is these challenges we face as being human. And so, you know, to tell our own story is truly one of the most powerful things any of us can do.
Exactly. So, you mentioned about your spiritual awakening. So, if you can delve deeper into how spirituality has influenced your approach to the self-care and the advocacy.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been a critical component of my growth, for sure. I started going on spiritual journeys to Mexico almost 12 years ago now, like I said, really 6 years before my shift in life. And at that point, before I went, I would have called myself an atheist. I didn't believe in anything. And I think truly being awakened to the idea that there is a connection, one, not just between myself and a higher power, but myself and everybody else, and that energy and love is all, you know, it's all connected. And this idea that, you know, I wasn't alone. I think for so often, for so long, I truly believed I was alone. Like I was isolated and I was dealing with all of this by myself. And I think that connection to a deeper spirituality and truly in a spirituality based in, you know, the idea of the divine feminine, that, you know, spirituality looked like me and felt like me and was truly inside of me and my essence. And my essence was connected to this greater, you know, great mother idea, was really empowering. And it really made me feel, you know, I had, you know, part of my childhood trauma came from a really tumultuous relationship with my mother, who then passed away when I was 30, and I was actually 20 weeks pregnant with my first child. And so there was a lot of unresolved emotions and feelings about my relationship with my mother and then my relationship with my new daughter. And I think the idea that love is something that is there, that it's not earned, that, you know, there is a great mother that loves us all, was really empowering and allowed me to connect with my own mother and heal in a way that I don't think otherwise would have been possible.
Understood. So what advice would you give to someone who is struggling to prioritize their own needs and advocate for themselves?
I would say quit things. I mean, there's so many things that we do and we get in these habits and routines that are, you know, toxic and, you know, don't feed our soul. And so reevaluate and look at the things that are really, you know, dragging you down, or trying to fill a void that otherwise will never be filled. Like, you have to fill that void yourself.
Exactly.
So, you know, releasing things and quitting things then allows the opportunity for new things to come in. I think, I mean, even in my constant personal journey now, right? Like there's always a space where there's things that aren't serving me to my highest capacity that are in you, and they're hard to let go because of, you know, that maybe it's all you've ever known, or maybe it's this deep connection that you feel it fills something, but the reality is it's, you know, truly sucking out your joy kind of thing. With those things, if they don't serve a purpose to, you know, move you towards a journey of joy and happiness, you know, there's really no room for them. And so I think, you know, when I quit city council, which was, you know, after that, the next thing was the next higher office, right? So by quitting it, I stopped that cycle. I stopped the cycle of this need to prove myself and just was more able to be. And so, yeah, quit some things.
Yeah, exactly. So on this, like, how do you maintain that balance and resilience in the face of setbacks or the challenges along your journey?
Well, I was never an AA person. Like, I actually, other than when I went to rehab, I really have never attended AA, but there is the philosophy in it that is, you know, one day at a time. And I think that's really powerful, right? Yeah. And I think we feel like we need to make these big changes and the, you know, and we look way far to the future, but the reality is, if every day you're making some incremental changes that shift your life towards, you know, something better for yourself or a better existence that is happier and less filled with sadness, then you're moving in the right direction, right? So I certainly have not perfected this by any means, but I think it's an awareness of a place that I, you know, I want to be and I want to keep moving towards. And I think also recognizing, you know, the darkness that I was in. And sometimes when I look at the day and it's hard, I think back to, well, but it's not as hard as it was, right? Like, it's not as bad as it was. And so sometimes when you're thinking about changing things or quitting things, I ask myself, like, what's the worst that could happen, right? Especially if you're in a really dark and sad place that is full of that, you know, longing for something different. If you change things, what is the worst that could happen? And in my case, you know, I tell a story often that when I was in rehab, the very first day, my face was down in a pillow, and I believed that my life was over if anyone found out. And the reality is that was when my life shifted and changed, and truly for the better. And so by taking that leap to change things dramatically for the better, I believe I am better for it. And so I would encourage anyone else to as well.
Great. That's great, Lily. So any practical tips or the strategies you want to share for the listeners who want to start advocating for themselves and creating a healthier life?
Yeah. So one of my favorite practices, kind of a spiritual practice, is going out into nature and finding items, whether it's rocks or sticks, and sitting with them and taking all those heavy things, all of that trauma, all of your trauma responses, all of that, and assigning them to those things that belong to Mother Earth.
Yeah.
And then ceremonially giving them back to her and allowing her to hold them so you no longer have to. That idea of releasing so new can come in, and that constant process is something I do often, and I do with my children often, as I think we hold on to these things for years and we don't have to. And so the literal process of getting them out of you and releasing them and letting Mother Earth hold them is a really powerful little practical ceremony that I do often.
Wow, that's really lovely. So finally, like, what are your hopes for individuals who engage with your story and the message of empowerment?
I mean, I know what it's like to be in the depths of sadness and to the point of trying to take your own life and coming out on the other side and living a life that is less sad, but truly just a life of contentment, a life where, you know, it's not so deeply sad that you can't move on and that your trauma and your, you know, the responses to trauma are dictating every aspect of your life.
So that's really lovely. Yeah. Great. So as we wrap up today's episode, we have delved into the transformative power of self-advocacy with Leah. So dear listeners, always remember that the true empowerment starts from within, and Leah's journey exemplifies the strength found in confronting our past, embracing the imperfections, and prioritizing our well-being. So thank you, Leah, for your inspiring insights. And for the listeners also, I'd love to mention, like, may you always remember to advocate yourself, nurture your spirit, and find the joy in the journey towards a healthier life. So join us next time for empowering conversations on Healthy Mind and Healthy Life. Until then, take care. Keep advocating for a vibrant life you desire. Thank you so much.
Thank you.